Have you seen any good fights lately? Anyone? As a boy, Friday night meant watching the fights. My father boxed in the Army and some in college, and he just loved to watch boxing. So Friday night, we watched boxing. Now, in school, I had a couple of fights. Anybody ever have fights in school? I can remember, too. I think I won one and lost one. And I wish I could say the other guy was bigger than me. He was just meaner than me. But fighting is something that we try to avoid. But I want to talk to you about fighting. I doubt if there's a parent here or a grandparent here that if you saw your children, grandchildren in danger, someone attacking them or someone trying to lead them astray and you knew what they were going to do to them, that you would not step in and intervene and fight. Families in America are seemingly in danger. Our families are just in danger. There's so much happening. I got this a couple of weeks ago. You've got these Connect cards in your pews, and I would encourage you, write notes to me. Most of these end up on, or all of them end up on my desk. Now, this is from a young person. And this is what they say. I'm having a lot of family trouble. I'm not going to tell you what she says theirs. But she specifies. I need prayers. And this is what she says, that they will choose to love me again and will eventually want me again. I just want things to be better than they are. I jotted down some notes this morning. If you want to know how families are doing in America, just watch the children. These are observations that you will make. Schools are installing metal detectors and hiring resource officers. Stopped by a convenience store the other day, and the sign on the front said, because it was next to the school, only two students allowed at a time. So I asked the guy behind the counter. He said, they'll steal me blind if I let more than two of them in at once. We have among our children and youth increased use of drugs and deaths. We have children younger and younger experimenting with sex and becoming addicted to pornography. Then on top of that, there's all this issue with gender confusion. And to children and young people coming up who have very little self-confidence and they've not been taught, it is a major issue they have to deal with. They are being at school, they're being bullied. I see such disrespect of parents, teachers, and leaders. McDonald's, the other day, a family I've met there that I'm doing counseling with, told me about their granddaughter that they are raising now, that they had her before the courts and the judge the other day. And while the judge is talking to her, she just stood up and walked out. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in court before, but you do not walk out on the judge. Somebody should have told this girl, it's not the way you do it. Our children are confused, aimless, and looking for answers. And they are looking everywhere for answers. And probably looking some places you parents don't even know about. Family, home, is where they should find answers. It is in the family and home where they should find acceptance, and they should find love. But our families are in trouble. And the frightening thing is this, when our families are in trouble, not only does dysfunction reign, not only does it make get-togethers with family hard, and you see your kids make mistakes and it breaks your heart. But it's been said, as the family goes, so goes the nation. Where is this country that we've grown to love going? And we know for a fact that family is the backbone of the Church of Christ. Where's it going? If we sit back and do nothing, we cannot be surprised at the dysfunction and destruction that lies ahead. Again, just look around. So many broken homes, even within our church, single parents trying to raise children. And I think they're doing a great job, but it's still not the same. It's not the way God designed it. Many are choosing not even to get married, seeing the institution as out of date. Families are being redefined. Instead of mom, dad, and kids, it's, well, maybe it's a couple of men, a couple of women, whoever want to live together. This is a theme I'm going to be speaking on in the future. The God of pleasure has been exalted. Games, drugs, sex, and leisure seem to be the desire of the human heart rather than a relationship and knowledge of God. Let me tell you what we need. We need strong families. Strong families have priorities right. God is first. Strong families value relationships. They forgive each other. They're patient with each other. They will not allow dysfunction and arguments to just reign in the home and break it apart. Strong families, marriages stay together. Couples live and learn. But they decide it's worth staying together. Someone asks, well, Pastor, we just fight all the time. Should we stay together just for the children? Yes, absolutely. They're the only ones had no part in this, and you can learn to love again. That I will guarantee you. Children need to feel loved and protected. It is where they learn values. It is where they learn priorities. It is where they learn to live. Family is the training ground for a successful life. Now, family is not easy. We never say that it is, but I want to talk to you today about the foundation of family. Now, here in Texas, we understand foundation problems, don't we? One day you come home and there's cracks in your wall that didn't used to be there. Or you feel like you're walking uphill, or you feel like you're walking downhill. And foundation problems have to be addressed. Well, I'm going to just take you through very quickly some foundational issues in the family. And we're going back to the book of Genesis. Because if we're going to talk about the family, we're going to go back to where it begins. We're going to go back to where we need to be. Here's the first point. Have a strong foundation in your family. Belief in the Creator God. 1st verse in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, God is awesome. He spoke the world into existence. Can any of you do that? He carved out the valleys. He created every life form. Can you do that? God is awesome. The biggest battle that we tend to face as humans with God is this pride issue. I want to run my life. I want to do it my way. And God reminds us, no, you're going to do it my way because I know the best and I know where we're going. For us to arrogantly stand before God and demand our rights would be no different than a toddler standing before their parents and saying, this is how I'm going to live, and this is how you're going to treat me. You see, when we see the awesomeness of God's creation, it produces humility. It causes us to fall before God, recognizing that in His eyes we are nothing. In one of my favorite movies, Rudy. Anybody watched Rudy? Oh, if you have not seen Rudy, it is a feel-good movie. There's a scene where the main character, Rudy, is trying to get into Notre Dame. It's been his heart's dream. He's been in a junior college working his heart out. He has been applying and applying and applying, rejected, rejected, and rejected. Now, he is applying finally, and this is his last chance to get into Notre Dame. He makes the application, and then he goes to the church. And in the church, he prays, and a priest comes in. The priest sits down next to him and says, can I help you with something? And he tells him his story. This is my last chance to get into Notre Dame. And he looks at the father and says, is there anything you can do to help me? And the priest turns and looks at him, takes his glasses off, and he says, after 35 years of religious study, I've only come up with 2 incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not Him. That's where we need to live our life. There is a God. A God that knows me and knows my future, and I don't. I'm not Him. You see, the opposite of believing in God and His creation is to become an atheist, anti-God. But with atheism comes pride, arrogance, and demands. And the Bible tells us that God exalts the humble, but He brings low the proud. Parents, somehow we have to instill within our children the simple belief that there is a Creator God that has everything in His hands, that is smarter than you are, that is smarter than I am. And we need to learn to depend upon Him, and we need to learn to trust Him. He's not going to hear that from his teachers or from his friends. He needs to learn that she needs to pick that up from mom and dad, who are not just teaching it, but they are living it. We must believe in the Creator God, or everything else begins to fall apart. Number two, belief that we each are made in God's image. Here in the book of Genesis, as God is creating, there's an interesting verse where says, God says, let us make man in our image. Us, of course, referring to the Trinity, more than one, in our image. Now, God is a spirit, therefore we cannot look like God. But when God made mankind, he put him in a position of authority. He made him like God himself. He would have control over his environment. He had control over the animals. He had control over the earth. And the Lord told Adam and Eve, over these you will rule. And as God began to instill within Adam this responsibility of authority as God has, as we begin to understand, we begin to see that we are so special in God's sight. I know that today, and I know there are some here in this church who perhaps don't enjoy sitting down to a thick steak or barbecue. You prefer just to eat vegetables, and that's it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. As humans, we make choices. Trust me, you're never going to convince an animal they should not eat another animal. It's instinct. It's not instinct with us. We make choices because we are like God. And here's what happens too. If we understand that we are made in the image of God, we are special. Each one of us is uniquely different. Scientists can tell you that you have different fingerprints. And now they can give you the details of your life by your DNA. I'm just amazed that they can tell you where you came from and what nationalities you are comprised of. And they can even tell you where you are vulnerable to sickness and disease. But we're all different. We want our children to come up believing that they are special. You see, when we understand we're made in God's image, it produces self-worth. And it's a battle our children deal with at school. Because I don't care who you are, you look different. Did you know that? You look different. You're taller, you're shorter, your eyes are too close together, they're too far apart. Your hair's curly, your hair's straight, and there's going to be somebody at your school that puts you down because you're different. But we are made in God's image. God deemed us special when he created us. Our children need to be taught that they have value because God created them. Again, the opposite is atheism. Atheism produces no self-worth because we become just like an animal. It gives us no inherent value. And we believe everyone has value. That everyone is special. That everyone has purpose. And our children need to know that they are valuable. They need to know that they are special. They need to develop self-confidence so that when they are approached about trying an experiment, they can say, no, I don't need that. When someone tries to lead them astray because of their self-confidence that comes from being made in God's image, they can say, I'm not going there. But because of that deep craving every one of us has to fit in, and you do know that we have a deep craving to fit in, don't you? That's why hairstyles, you can follow generation to generation. Why you can follow clothing styles generation to generation. And why when you're asked to come to an event, you oftentimes ask back, say, well, how's everybody dressing? Because no one wants to stand out. But to ask your children to be bold enough and brave enough to be different, we must instill within them self-confidence. And that self-confidence comes from God and what God is doing and has done in them. Now, right now while I'm speaking, Kevin and Carrie have our kids upstairs. Don't you think for a moment that they can do what I'm talking about? The best that they can do is reinforce what parents and grandparents are articulating at home. It's the best they can do. But again, without self-confidence, they will not be bold enough to withstand the trends and say no to a culture that they feel tremendous pressure to conform to. Number three, part of the strong foundation is a belief that God is the ultimate authority. After God has created Adam and Eve, has given them everything, has made them in charge of everything, then the Lord God commands the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely die. God gives us tremendous latitude in leading, tremendous latitude in being over His creation. But where He has laid down absolutes, He is the absolute authority. When He told Adam and Eve in the garden, there's a tree here that you cannot eat from, He meant it. But along comes the slimy serpent. Because one thing our enemy never wants is for us to yield to God's authority. Because you see, he didn't. Matter of fact, Satan was cast out of heaven because he did not yield to God's authority. He stood proudly before God and told God five times, I will. God said, no, you won't. God kicked him out of heaven. But the slimy serpent comes to Eve. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? You see, a wise salesman never tells the downside of what he's about to propose. Looks pretty good. Ooh, what is that tree back in the back? Doesn't that fruit look good? Eve says, yeah, it does look pretty good. But that's the tree that God said we should not eat from. The serpent, well, he's going to tell a little half-truth. I know that God told you if you eat of the tree, you're going to die, but that's not completely true. Really? Yeah. See, if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be as a God. Really? You see, we are so easily enticed. Your children are so easily enticed. Look at this website. It'll make you feel good. Why don't you try some of this? Boy, it's going to send you flying. So she chose, and it is a choice, she chose to listen to the serpent rather than obey God. And when she made that choice, she sent her family and mankind on a spiritual downfall, because we always demand our way. And we want to do our thing. We yield to God as the ultimate authority. And parents, let me help you understand something here. It is authority and responsibility is essential in the world. God is a God of order. If it's chaos, God's never in it. God is a God of order. You see, God says, I'm the ultimate authority. Buck stops here. But moms and dads, I'm giving you authority in the home. Moms and dads, you teach your children about authority. Because if we fail to teach our children about authority, that you yield to authority even when it's something else you don't want to do, they will look at that teacher in the face and say, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And the law officer, who cares? Authority is essential in every facet of life. But children are instinctively drawn to chaos. They want to produce chaos. You have to teach them order. Some of you guys here, and I'm not going to get off on this, but some of you guys here that came up in my generation, you know, if you were in school and you back-talked a teacher, what happened? Well, what do you think happened when you got home? You learned a valuable lesson. You never oppose authority. You don't do it. And without going into details, the Bible teaches that authority is put there for our good. If you're driving down the highway and the traffic light's out and the police officer says for you to stop, trust me, it's for your good. Authority, we've got to teach it. It produces order within our life, and we need to yield to it. We see order in the Godhead. The Father seems to be the planner. The Son is the executioner, and the Holy Spirit appears to be the one that carries out the work. Order produces success. Without order, chaos reigns. And without order in the family, it will look like the inmates are in charge of the asylum. And parents, I'm not saying it's easy in today's generation, but I am saying this is essential. You must find what works. You must have order. Number four, quickly, belief that God provides. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. Even though God had given her everything else, she wanted a little bit more. You see, if we understand that God provides, it produces contentment. We become satisfied with His provision. Sometimes life is painful, amen? But we should not try to dull that pain. That pain teaches us. It produces contentment. We need to focus on His gifts. We need to focus on His provision. And we need to focus on seeking Him. Now, I'm going to get very practical today. Probably ought to always be practical, shouldn't we? But I want to talk to you about some of the things that we can do to begin to train and instill in our children values and worth. Because they're going to come up and they're going to face opposition. If they have a faith in God and a belief in God, someone's going to tell them that they are wrong. And they're fooled to believe it. You've got to make them strong enough that they'll stand against it. Someone's going to try to talk that dear sweet grandson, that dear sweet granddaughter into doing drugs. And they're going to be told it'll make you feel good. They need to have enough self-worth and have been taught that they need to say no. That lot falls on us. I have two suggestions. First suggestion I'm going to make is for the entire 6 weeks of this family campaign. And it's that for the next 6 weeks that you treat Monday as a no-screen night. Now, I know for some of you, Monday night may not work for this reason or that, but I'm suggesting Monday, if you have to find another one, do it. And we're saying no screen because our screens, be it our phone, be it our computer, being our tablet, absorb us. They just try to talk to somebody on a phone or on the computer. They don't even hear you. If you scream at them, they may say, huh? Put them down. Now, if you have to have it for your job to check something, go in the other room, but maybe we need to try talking sometimes. Maybe play a board game. I don't know. Maybe take a walk around the block. Anybody here need more exercise? Maybe get to know each other a little bit better. But if we don't make some tough choices and do some things differently, nothing's going to change. Those of you parents who have children and teenagers who are addicted to their screens, and you know what I'm talking about because some of you adults are addicted to your screens. It's almost like when they don't have a screen, their hands are shaking. I need something to entertain me. You understand? It's a good chance to talk. Go for a trip. Go visit someone that needs to be seen. So I'm going to ask some of you next Sunday how it went Monday night. And I don't even know what Ginger and I are going to do because we have a tendency to turn on the television and Ginger's got her computer out doing Facebook and we both have our phones out half the time. So it's going to be a challenge for us too. But I know sometimes a tool can become a weapon. And the tools that we have in our hands can become a weapon used by our enemy if they control us instead of us controlling them. And the second thing I'm going to ask this week only is that you daily, parents, if you could get your kids, be wonderful, to read Genesis 1. Because it takes us back to the beginning. And we need strong families. We need families that become that haven where the hurting come. Where children learn confidence. When they learn self-worth and self-value. When they see that they can be difference makers. And they don't have to conform to everything their friends and schoolmates are doing. You see, our families are in danger because our culture is determining that they're obsolete. And they are obsolete if you don't know God and you don't care about God and you don't think that God's involved. Well, they're obsolete. It should be just everybody go over what you want and let chaos ensue. But we know better. We know that that family that prays together stays together. The family that reads the Word of God together, they stay together. The family that talks about problems, they stay together. So we need to live differently in this lost and dying world. Two assignments. Monday night, don't turn on the television. Don't pick up the laptop. Try to avoid that phone because probably nothing you're going to receive you have to have that they wouldn't call you about. Check it before you go to bed that night. And focus on each other. And then, maybe during that time, Monday night, bring out your Bible and turn it to the very first page of the Word of God. Read it and talk about it. What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about us? Your children deserve it. Our nation needs it. And the church and the body of Christ and the cause of Christ are depending on it. Amen? I'm not trying to send you home with a feel-good message today. I'm trying to send you home with the something you need to do message. Because we're in a war. Let's pray. Father God, Father God, we are aware, O Lord, of what's going on around us. Each one of us, Father. We see the dysfunction of so many families. We see children, young children, adolescents and teens, Father, confused about life and their place. And we know, Father, we're smart enough to know it's got to begin with us, their family. You have given us that holy responsibility. God, forgive us for our failures. Point before us, oh God, what we need to do. Father, help the fathers here and the mothers here, the grandparents here, if the kids are with them, to say, hey, it's Monday. Let's put the screens up. Father, guide us. Give us wisdom. Because, Father, we want to see, Lord, we long to see, Lord, we pray to see our family strong because we want to see our children and our grandchildren successful in life. We want them to have a relationship with you, oh God. And we want them to make good decisions. So, Father, we pray your blessing. Now, Father, every family represented here, Lord God, I pray a blessing on them, Lord. I pray, Father, for that father, that he would make that decision to lead. That he and his wife would stand up, and if they have failed their children somewhere, Lord, bring them together and tell them, we're going to do it different now. But Father, that Christ might be glorified and Christ might be honored. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.